Blog Talk Radio.
We were talking about what was going on there, but also what was going on in the world.
Yes, we were. As we left our last show, I think it was Friday. Hey, this is the Andy and Amanda show. I should have said that. Yes, it is. We have Andy Kimball here. We have Amanda Love in the UK. We are around the world, 8,000 miles away, here just outside of Hollywood, California, sunny Los Angeles. And we have Amanda Love in Chestershire, Shelton, Champagne, way above the Eiffel, nowhere near the Eiffel Tower, somewhere near the Eiffel Tower there in Europe, or the London Bridge or somewhere else. I don't know. She's over there. Hey, Amanda, how you doing? Wherever you are.
I get around.
You do get around.
Darling. I'm doing good, and I hope our listeners are doing good too. How are you, sweetheart?
Doing great here. Doing real well. Another beautiful day. A lot going on in the world. We missed you all on Monday, but we're back here again live. Our number here to join us in the studio and talk about what you would like to. Easy to do. Pick up your phone, dial 515-605-9888. And that's what you got to do. And here we already have a caller here. It looks like our lines are starting to light up. Look at this. We got Hawaii. We got Minnesota. We got New York. What's going on with the phone lines here today? Let's one at a time. Hold on there. Yes, we're live. The Andy and Amanda Show. We'll start with let's go to Hawaii. Yeah, I want to go to Hawaii. What do you think, Amanda? Let's go to Hawaii.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, here we go. Hello. Hello, Hawaii. Hello. Hello. How are you?
Aloha, Hawaii. Aloha, Hawaii.
This sounds like, give me a second, guys. I got to see. Let me pick up this other call here. Don't go away. I just got to see. Our lines are lighting up. This never happens this early in the show. Thank you very much, though. Hold on a second. Don't go away, guys.
I'll be going for the premiums.
They must be. Are we giving away anything? Hold on a minute. Hello, hold on a second. Let me go to green screen here. You guys go ahead. I'll be right back. Hold on.
That's fine. How you doing, Dad?
Hey, Amanda, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Yes, I'm overcoming a chest infection that everybody knows, and I just feel a little better. How are you? How's things there?
Well, I'm just waking up over here. I guess you've had your evening nap, so you're pushing midnight over there.
Yeah, we're at 3 p.m. and everybody's had dinner and chilling out the evening over here. I can't say everybody's had dinner. Some people eat really late over here. I don't. It's
the Chinese.
Pardon? Chinese? What was that? Yeah, can
the
I
Chinese?
Chinese right there.
So here's an idea. So there are people who are shy, they love to join us, but they say, I don't want to talk on the radio, but I love your show and I want to hear it on the phone because it's better. Okay. 515-605-9888. If you just, I'll see you light up, but I don't know if you want to join the conversation or just listen to the show. So you can call the show. You'll get a recording that says we're connecting you now with the Andy and Amanda, however they say. I don't even know what they say. But you'll get a message that says they'll connect us.
Radio.
Block Talk Radio. That's right. And then if you want, then I will greet you. I don't know if you want to hear me greet you. But and I will, say hi, and then you could tell me if you want to actually join the conversation or if you just want to listen to the show on the phone, and I'll put you on that line, and you can just tune in and listen to as much of or as little of the show as you like to. I know that our show is probably not one that you probably want to tune into too long. No, that's not true. Of course you want to tune into it. You do, you know.
Hey, you Andy, you're putting off here. We're meant to be promoting.
As the man used to say, tune in, turn on, and drop out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, so, but seriously, 515-605-988, you can just call that number and listen to the show on the phone, which does probably come in maybe clearer than your internet connection, depending on where you are, whatever this is, internet radio. You can also email the show, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Definitely tune into our website, please. It's andyandamandashow.com, and you could listen to, I think this is, according to Block Talk Radio, show number 320-something. I forget the exact number, but
woo!
Over 300 shows next month,
wow.
October, gives us 18 months of doing this show, Coast to Coast Live, 18 months internet radio. And we're gonna keep going, man. We're going to, you know, sometimes we scratch our heads and say, whoa, you know, but we want to take this to Sirius XM. And or to a radio network that is willing to put up with Amanda and I.
yeah. <right. laughs>
But we will bring you an audience. We will bring you listeners. We'll bring you advertisers. We're all good things that you want to have happen on radio. Amanda and I have the capability and power and gravity to be able to do it. And, of course, you can't put the talent aside. You know what I'm talking? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So those of you who are in tune with the radio business industry and all that stuff, we'll be talking to you because that's where the show is headed. That's where the show is headed.
Absolutely.
And you know something? Yeah. Someday you're going to be tuning in your iHeartRadio or your Sirius XM, and it's going to say Andy and Amanda Show, and you'll see our beautiful logo designed by Amanda, and you'll say, God, I remember when those guys started on internet radio. Man, that's so cool. You know what I mean? And then you'll see us as guests on late night TV. You'll say, hey, we got Andy and Amanda here from the Andy and Amanda Show, our guest tonight. Hey guys, how you doing? What's that? Not too, you know. Okay, you know. For me, I had a tough time yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Because a friend of mine told me, you know, you should watch your health, not your money. And then somebody else came and stole my money when I was watching my health. You know what I'm saying? And here I am.
That's not a nice situation to be in. I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. Destroyed my life. Destroyed my life.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's
in the world
going on,
over there? Hey, Chet. Yeah. First of all, how you doing, Chet, man, from Hawaii? Thanks for calling and joining us. How you doing?
Well, I'm just really glad that finally your show is on when I'm awake.
Uh-oh.
It's
man,
little
back after
9 a.m. here, and I've been up for about an hour and a half doing my coffee and internet and arguing with nut jobs on comment lines and everything. And the sun is trying to creep out. It usually comes out in the morning, and then we get overcast and rain in the afternoons. So, and at least my inconsiderate neighbor is not mowing his 8 acres of lawn today. So
eight
far,
8 acres? Did you say 8 acres of lawn?
Yeah, he's got an 11-acre property, and I swear he's got 8 acres of it. He's determined to be a lawn here in the jungle. And he's got this industrial strength mower that is just louder than hell, runs on diesel.
Oh my goodness.
And he runs the thing about anywhere from 6 to 12 hours a day.
Oh.
Eight or 9 days a month.
That would drive
me
nuts.
And yesterday and the day before were two of those days. And yesterday I swear I was trying to figure out if I knew any friends who knew how to put sugar in gas tanks or I don't know. Just,
you were
it
ready
really
to
made me crazy.
Face
that
him
is,
and just say, shut up. Yeah.
That is something I am. So, right. You know, I'm surrounded by neighbors with a lot of ground and I have an outhouse, you know? But my neighbors are doing real well.
Well, this will give you an idea. This will give you an idea. You know those obnoxious gas-powered weed blower?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. They come around
imagine
here like, all the time.
That,
yeah.
imagine that your neighbor's running one of those things 6 or 8 hours a day for 2-3 days at a time.
It would drive me crazy.
A couple, 3 times a month.
It would drive me crazy. You have a big – you, but your property, if I'm mistaken, you live – you have a whole big coffee bean farm there where you are in Hawaii, right? That's what you have there, correct?
I have a 5-acre farm that has 1,300 coffee trees on it. That I rent out to somebody else because I worked it for a while, and then I did the math, and I was making less money per hour working the coffee than I was making playing music at farmers market. So
wow. So I have a question for you. I have a question, like, because you know this, you're have expertise in this. So when you go to Blue Bottle or I don't know, or Starbucks or Pete's or Coffee Bean or whatever it is, they buy their coffee beans from, do they have their own farms? They buy from brokers or distributors, or like when you're in the coffee business yourself before you rented it out, who did you sell to?
Well, I was selling the cherry. So I was selling cherry to one of the, yeah, that's the red bean or red cherry that contains a couple coffee beans. Unless it's pea berry, in which case it's one mutant round coffee bean instead of two kidney-shaped beans. So you sell the cherry, excuse me, and you're only getting about, I was getting $2 a pound. It's up to $2.40 now, $2.40. But then I had to pay the pickers, so I had to pay people to pick it. There's just no way I could pick, you know, 11, 12, 13,000 pounds of coffee.
Agreed, yeah.
And then it goes through a supply chain, yeah. So the premium coffees like Kona and Jamaica Blue Mountain and like that are, well, we're hand-picked. They have to be hand-picked. And then it goes through a distribution network. Most of those places you talk about, if they ever have Kona, buy the green bean or the parchment. So it goes from cherry, then you bust open the cherry using a pulper, and you get the beans with a mucilage layer on them. Then you wash, you put them in a vat of water, and the bacteria eat away at the mucilage. You do that overnight. Then you rinse them, put them on drying racks, dry them in the sun for 3 to 4 weeks. Then you have parchment, which has a hard coating on it. Then you have to husk them to get the green bean. And then that is what you actually roast, is the green bean. And it's essentially inedible until you have roasted it. So they usually buy parchment if they have access to husking machines, or the green bean, which are can be stored up to 8 to 10 months in a cool, dry area before roasting. And in fact, you really do want to let them age for 4 to 8 weeks before roasting once they're green.
Yeah.
So that they can get seasoned. That's the best taste.
And they get a nice suntan. Yeah, I know. Everything looks better with a suntan.
Yeah, you can't, you know.
Unlike pasty pale me over here in the UK.
What's really unfortunate is we found that that the total amount of Kona coffee being sold country in the world is about 5 times as much as what we're growing. And in fact, there was a recent lawsuit, and we're beginning to get settlements against various corporations and everything who have sold such counterfeit coffees that's one thing to watch out for. If it's anything significantly under $15 to $20 a pound for roasted, it's probably not Kona.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you for that tidbit. Yeah, I used to drink a whole lot more than I do now, but I'm a good couple, two or three, cups of coffee in the morning or thermos full of it in my car when I'm driving. But I like coffee a lot. I have one of those, I guess a lot of people have these days, but I went from the traditional Mr. Coffee type of coffee maker to a Keurig. You know, the little thing you put the little cups in, you push the button.
Keurig machine's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have that, and actually I'm on my second one, but there's something about making a pot of coffee in the morning, just having that pot there, go pour it, boom, it's done, you know, just pour it, you know, versus here comes, you know, and I guess the Keurig, if you think about it, is probably more expensive than putting, you know, three tablespoons of coffee in.
Well, and it's also kind of an environmental nightmare, because you got to dispose of the cups.
Yeah.
And you're actually paying a lot more per pound.
That makes sense.
Run.
Yeah.
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 I'm
Trader
a fan
Joe's.
Of,
I don't know if you have Trader Joe's on Hawaii. You have Trader Joe's there, right? Don't you? In
you
Hawaii,
know,
maybe
we
not.
Don't. Trader Joe's won't come over here because of the extreme transportation costs.
I live at Trader Joe's. I live at it. But they have – Trader Joe's has the – they use alternative – they don't use the plastic cups. They use biodegradable – you know, it's like
right.
a, you know, whatever. But then there's the – you go to like the regular food store, like the food grocery store, the big chains, and buy like 82 Keurig equivalent cups for $20 or something like that. You buy – hey, family pack, you know, 82 things for $20 versus, you know, $10 for 12 little Keurig things, which can get expensive. But, you know, I have two bags of ground coffee sitting on top of my refrigerator that stares at me every morning and says, Andy, why don't you just put me in the Mr. Coffee and make yourself a pot of coffee? I'm like, fuck that.
if it's been up there for more than 4 to 6 weeks, it's probably going to tell you, don't bother.
Really? Is it best to store coffee in the fridge or freezer, is that a myth?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go real quick through the
go
as
ahead.
Long as we're doing coffee.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's in the green bean, you can store it for months.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's roasted, if you pack it very vacuum pack it so that there's no free air molecules to speak of in the bag. You can put it in the freezer for a while, but once you take it out of the freezer and it thaws, that's it. You got to start using it. You can't put it back in the freezer. What you don't want is moisture getting at it. So that's the main thing. That's why you can't open it up and then close it up again and put it in the freezer, because you got moisture in the air. All gone. Sit in the bean. You can store it, or if you use it within 3 to 4 weeks, it will probably be fairly close to peak taste. Although it starts deteriorating once the air hits it, and within a week or two, I can taste the difference.
Wow!
And then once it's ground, you've got about 24 hours.
You kidding me?
So,
really?
So like
wow.
Keats, they grind it and vacuum pack it, so it'll last longer. But once you open the package, it starts deteriorating rapidly because you have all that surface area of the ground coffee attracting moisture from the air. And so within a week or two at the most, it's
pretty much
what we would call sale,
only on the Andy and Amanda show, folks. Only on the Andy and Amanda show do you get this kind of information. We're talking coffee here. We've got, you never know where these conversations are going to go. That wasn't the plan, but I'm really enjoying this because, I think I can speak for most of the listeners on their show, maybe not all of them, but a majority of them are coffee drinkers, whether you drink one cup a day or whether you live on it all day long. Wow, and who knows what you're really drinking? Let me ask you another question, speaking more about this. So I go to a coffee place, and I had a grinder. I don't know where it is. So I say, can you grind this for me? And they grind it, and they put it in the bag, and they seal it, and they give it to me. And then I put it on top of my refrigerator, and there it sits. So that's not vacuum-packed. So that coffee is probably – I mean, I can still use it. It's not like it's going to hurt you, right? I mean, it still just doesn't have the same fresh.
No, it won't hurt
you. Right, right.
It might offend you, but it won't hurt you.
Got Gotcha. Thank you for that. Thank you. So it's best to find the, you know, there was a while back where I had a machine that did it all. You put the coffee beans in the top, it grinds it, bam, and then makes your cup of coffee. You know, all in one, you put this, you know. Yep.
Well, I was going to, I was almost to the point of telling you that after all the different methods I've used, I've had espresso machines, I've had the stovetop espresso maker, which is actually probably the second best way to have it. You know, pour in the filter top, machine, Mr. Coffee, all different levels. And my absolute favorite now is French press.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, my
for
sister
me,
is big
I
on that.
Start with,
yeah.
I start with green bean that I store in my garage, and then I roast a batch of about a half a pound to a pound every 3 or 4 days. Then I take that roasted coffee, and I grind it in the morning just before putting it in the French press and then pouring the water on and let it steep for 4 minutes. And then while I'm feeding the cats, and then drink the coffee. So that's how I get the freshest. I have a $600 roaster.
Wow.
That works
well, I'm
pretty
going
well.
To, I'm going to,
but,
wow.
But if you're going to invest in one thing to really improve your coffee drinking experience, a grinder. And I have one that I bought in the 19, let me walk over there. I can't remember the name of it. It's been so long. It's a German, and I don't know if they still make them, Braun.
Yeah, of course. I've seen that.
And
well,
the
in matter of fact,
deteriorated.
I think Braun is.
So I have to use. Go ahead.
I think I saw that Braun at. They make them in. Wait a minute.
The
Braun,
Japanese are involved here.
Thank you. Yeah, I think they.
They probably are now.
Yeah. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah. So
but
you. I remember them.
Mine was made by little German guys in Germany.
Oh. Okay.
Back. Back when they made things in Germany. I mean, let me see if they still sell it. I'm looking it up right now. It would be really great if they still sold it.
Well, you know. Yeah. You know
the main thing is to get plenty of advice.
While I look this up. Let me see.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, you have the two different kinds. There's the kind that's a little looks like a tube, and you dump the beans in the top, and then you hope like hell that you let go in time. You know, it has got a little wheel going around. It just whacks the crap out of the coffee, and then you hope you stop it in time. Ah, here we go. But the best kind, okay, it looks like Braun is still making a burr grinder. It's $84. Not bad. It has a little thing on the top where you put the coffee, and then a knob. You turn the knob, you set the grind amount of grind, and you turn the knob, and then it puts the ground coffee in the little container, and then you pull out the container, and voila. So those are better than the little tall thing. So it's worth
it. That's what I have.
Yeah,
I don't even know where it is. Hey, Amanda, you a coffee drinker?
Stalin.
Are you a coffee drinker?
I am not a coffee drinker, no. And the reason for that is many, many years ago, when I was younger, caffeine seemed to really irritate my my tummy and my bowel. And I ended up going to the doctor with really bad pain, and they said, oh, you know, this is early signs of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And so I cut back on drinking things like Coca-Cola and stuff like that. So, you know, I was for many years. When I was 17, I was getting into drinking coffee. And I went around to a neighbor's house, had, I think it was a load of coffee, and came back one night, got into bed, and then I had to get up crippled over in pain. I couldn't stand up. And then I've not been drinking coffee. So, you know, unfortunate. Just affects me, the caffeine, too much. And, yes, I can have a cup here and there, but, you know, never really managed to get into it for many reasons. So
yeah. I've been on coffee. I didn't start drinking coffee till my late 20s, early 30s. When others drank coffee, I drank hot chocolate. Even when I was a pilot, a lot of the other pilots, you know, they come into the flight ops before the flights and they, you know, grab coffee or get a coffee for the flight deck. I would drink hot chocolate. I'll take chocolate cup, please. Yeah, and I just didn't, you know. Then when I'm thinking late 20s, early 30s. With marshmallows, yes. Yeah, with the little tiny white marshmallows. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Beautiful. And I like, you know, hot chocolate. It did it for me, you know. And then I guess late 20s, I'm thinking, early 30s. I became a coffee, and then I drank. I got to the point, which thank God I'm not there now. I got to the point where I'm in my car. I'm driving. We have a chain of, I was on the East Coast. They're not here, but we have called Wawa, and I think Cornell, who's our show coordinator on the East Coast, we were talking about it. Wawa makes hoagie. It's like a convenience store. You buy, you know, snacks, food, whatever. They have a great town, and they make amazing sandwiches, amazing hoagies, whatever you call them, submarines, whatever. And amazing coffee, Wawa coffee. And I would pass a Wawa and get a cup of coffee and get back in my car. I'm drinking it. Then I'd see another Wawa. I stopped and get another cup of coffee. I mean, I drank all day long. I was never without a cup of coffee in my hand. And it got to a point where it was oh, my God. Then you get – when you go through coffee withdrawal, when you're drinking all the time, like you're always drinking coffee, and even – you don't have to drink a lot of coffee for – even if you get up every morning and have a cup of coffee and you do that for a while, then you go a couple of days or in a day and you don't do that, on come the headache, you know, feeling quite right. What's the deal here? It's like going through, and I guess it's caffeine. Check decaffeinated coffee or caffeinated coffee. When and how, if I wanted to go to a farm, like coffee is coffee naturally caffeinated?
Oh yeah. It's and a little known fact is the darker the roast, the less caffeine.
Really?
Oh.
So yeah, that's why I've always been a dark French drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about back when I was programming computers in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and would drink like two pots of coffee a day. It got to the point where, like around 84, 85, somewhere in that neighborhood, I was literally hallucinating in the afternoons from all that caffeine.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that's
when I began cutting back. And now it's two mugs in the morning, one French press full of it in the morning. And then I don't drink it at all during the day. But, yeah, the coffee is also chocolate is also naturally caffeined.
Yes.
So has caffeine in it.
That would explain to you. I didn't even know that. I had no idea that, or did I know? I don't think I knew. Anyway, I wasn't conscious of knowing that
hot chocolate
was caffeinated.
Got caffeine in it.
That's probably why
you were a caffeine junkie even when doing hot chocolate.
Yeah, because sometimes we'd have these, you know, as a pilot, sometimes you get a, you know, get up at the hotel, you get up 3:30 in the morning for a 4:30 or 5:30 call at the airport, and you'd be there an hour before departure or so, and bam, and I did the hot chocolate, and it did it for me. The pilots had coffee, I did, you know, there's Andy's hot chocolate. that was my life, and then I suddenly developed a taste for coffee, and I've become a connoisseur, but because I don't really know the difference between different types of coffee. Is coffee, in terms of this Ethiopian or a Costa Rican, or, you know, when you're in Hawaii, is it Kona coffee there, or whatever you call it?
The major differences are the climate,
mm-hmm.
and the ground you grow it in. So the different varieties are grown in, of course, different soils and in different climates. The advantage that Jamaica, Blue Mountain, and Kona have as the two best coffees in the world is the climate and the growing situation. It's on a volcano, both of them.
Right.
So we grow in very porous volcanic soil. Coffee is a band of about, that's about 20, 25 miles long and about 4,000 feet wide, running up the west side of Hawaii Island. There are other coffees. Kau Coffee is quite good. They're down south on Big Island. Maui Coffee is also good. Kauai even grows a little bit of coffee. And again, it's the climate. It's the fact that we have volcanic soil. We have the areas where the coffee is usually grown has the sunlight in the morning and cloud cover at night, so we don't have to do shade grown because we get shade every day.
Yeah.
So it's just the perfect combinations.
Yeah. It makes that magic happen.
We had a very bad year back when the volcano was spewing gray clouds of sulfuric and hydrochloric acid into the air, and we were like gray days every day, and our crop took a big hit when Kilauea was going a few years ago from not getting enough sun. And now we're getting too much rain, so go figure.
Wow.
Man. Some people say, well, Ethiopian coffee is, you know, versus Colombian coffee versus, is there, if I see Ethiopian, I'm like, ooh, that's good, but I couldn't tell you why. Why is Ethiopian coffee, you know, if you were to give me a cup of Ethiopian and a cup of Colombian, what would be the difference? Like, how would I know?
Well, I can't tell you in terms of detail. Mm-hmm. I haven't had either in about 30, 40 years, but again, the different climates give different taste profiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some coffee is nuttier, some is fruitier. It's like wine, same idea. And frankly, you know, coffee is horrible tasting stuff, just like wine and booze and the rest of it. You know,
it is. It's true.
It's really not something that a child, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old would take a big swig of and go, ooh, this is wonderful.
Yes.
So it's not natural.
Yeah.
So it's an acquired taste, and one can appreciate it for either its effects, which is unfortunately what most people drink coffee for, is to stay awake because they don't get enough sleep because we have such a rapacious economic system that requires people to be wage slaves in order to survive. And there's the premium coffee, which I actually got into in the 1970s. I used to get up in the morning to go to work in San Francisco, and there was a coffee shop that this guy opened up that I ended up playing in. And I would go down there every morning and have a couple cups of coffee and then take the brutal ride across the Bay Bridge to San Francisco. And I got into drinking all different kinds, Colombian and Ethiopia and even some Jamaica Blue Mountain, which really didn't blow my socks off, especially at that price. But so I got into that and really have never been able to go back to Folgers since, you know.
Oh, man. Companies like Folgers and Maxwell House and that type of almost like generic, you know, institutional brands, when do they own their own coffee farms or do they buy from – are there brokers and distributors much like there is in wine importers and so forth?
They buy the beans that the premium coffee people won't sell. So, yeah,
wow.
They buy just gobs of probably parchment from brokers. So they go – Guatemala's got a huge crop. Brazil has a huge crop. In fact, Brazil, because it all ripens at the same time in Brazil, they can use big machines. So they have big old tall coffee plants, much taller than ours, and they have these big old machines that go through and pick the coffee. So they don't have to pay these guys 75, 85, 95 cents a pound to pick the coffee for them. And so they're industrial operations. So that's where a big percentage of the coffee comes from big industrial coffee farms like that.
Well, let me ask you, you were saying earlier that you, you know, back in the early 70s and so forth, which predates Starbucks, you're in the coffee business, you have a coffee farm, you're getting knowledge of how all this works, obviously. And along comes a guy in Seattle, Washington, opens up a little shop called Starbucks. The rest is history. You go from, I remember going to a coffee shop, you sit down, you have a bagel and a cup of coffee, and it's 75 cents for the coffee, and the woman keeps coming by and refills your coffee all day long if you're sitting there. Suddenly you go to Starbucks and you're paying $27 for a cup of coffee, or whatever it is now, I don't even know. But so, wow, suddenly this guy in Seattle, Washington starts this store where he's taking a cup of coffee, and you know what that what the cost of that coffee probably actually is, and they're charging whatever it is a cup, and suddenly it's a national, international company with all corporate-owned stores. Holy crap.
Well,
what's your take on that?
I was going to say, I thought you were asking this question, so I was going to answer it before you finished asking it. Sorry about that, Andy.
No problem.
They don't sell coffee. They sell an environment, which is actually, it's like Apple. They don't sell computers. They sell a cult, an experience. They sell sizzle because their computers are twice as expensive and half as powerful, but they're selling the cult experience. Well, Starbucks, same thing. They don't sell coffee. They sell an experience, which includes being able to sit down and nurse your coffee and hook up to the internet and do your work, and they don't bug you for sitting there for an hour or two. And actually, I love the experience. It's a wonderful experience. I've taken advantage of it quite a bit back in the day when I lived on the mainland.
And the only Starbucks
we have here are in Target, and they're closed for renovation right now.
Well, yeah, you go to Starbucks and people sit there with their laptops and they'll sit there for 7 hours doing their work. And instead of working at home, they're working at Starbucks, and they don't care about turning the tables. Then, of course, there's drive-through Starbucks. Then came Pete's, and there's Coffee Bean, and there's others. I found here in L.A., I think it's called Blue Bottle, is the most incredible. It's $4 a cup, and they make every single cup by hand, like French press type, like what you're saying. And it's
French
worth
press,
every
dime.
Yeah, it's worth every penny, that $4. What a huge difference. I mean, when I first, you know, I went in with a friend who was visiting me in L.A., and we passed a place for coffee, Blue Bottle. I never heard of it, even though it's been here. I walked in and, I said, yeah, a cup of coffee, please. And they said, $4. I'm like, it better be fucking for $4. It better be, you know. And then they were making the individual cup for me. And it was incredible. I'm like, whoa, you know, I'll pay $5. You know, it was really, really good.
That's what I have to put up with every morning.
Well, wow.
Except I pay, what is it, about 80 cents a cup, I guess.
Wow.
Do the math.
Yeah,
I buy the green beans for 15 to 20 and then a pound and then roast it and grind it and drink it. So
looking online, I'm just perusing about coffee online, and of course you've got that thing that everybody gets up and it's like, yeah, I must have my first cup of coffee, I can't function without it, and everybody's convinced that, you know, it gives you that energy boost, makes you think clearer, and there are facts that it does do those things, but there's two things that I find. So it says, can improve energy levels and make you smarter. Coffee can help people feel less tired and increase energy levels. That's because it contains a stimulant called caffeine, the most commonly consumed psychoactive substance in the world. After you drink coffee, the caffeine is absorbed into your bloodstream. From there, it travels to your brain. In the brain, caffeine blocks the inhibitory neurotransmitter adenosine, I think it's called. When this happens, the amount of other neurotransmitters like norepinephrine and dopamine increases, leading to enhanced firing of neurons. Now, this other site says, okay, this place is called Bustle, for anybody who wants to know and go check it out. It says, once the caffeine gets into your bloodstream, it goes to the receptors in your brain that usually host the adenosine, or however you pronounce that, a compound that builds up in you the longer you're awake, in order to tell you when to sleep. So how does this amount equal to faux energy? Let me see. Hang on. No, hang on. Sorry, let me just read this up a bit first. That's
right,
my
right.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does the coffee trick your brain? Because all that's happened is it's actually tricking your brain. It says, about the once it gets into the bloodstream, blah blah blah.
You know, it tricks my brain all the time. I'm
like, you like to dress up like a woman.
You know what I mean?
Really?
I'm always.
Fantastic. Okay, so yes, the caffeine replaces the edonosine in your system and thus stops your brain from knowing when to get tired and go to sleep. On the flip side, caffeine does have many positive effects on the brain and body. It can break down into three different molecules, each with very different functions. Upon entering the body, it increases the flow of oxygen to the brain, increases athletic performance, increases heart rate and the ability to concentrate.
And
and of course we have read the links between caffeine and Alzheimer's, caffeine and dehydration, and caffeine and type 2 diabetes. Ooh, that's not so good. The takeaway though is that the moderation is the key. The video, there's a video on this page,
yep.
If you guys want to check it out. Okay, so bustle.com. The video notes that you should keep your caffeine intake below 400 milligrams. This is the best way to keep from feeling the less desirable side effects from the compound. So I think it's pretty worthy of checking out.
Do me a favor, can you repeat that last couple of sentences? You cut out a little bit. It went blank, but just repeat that if you wouldn't mind. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So you need to keep your intake below 400 milligrams.
Yep.
It's the best way to keep from feeling less desirable side effects, mm-hmm. compound like jitters and anxiety. So it's saying, but guys, you know, if you want to check the page, it's google.com. I've just... cross it whilst this conversation.
What was it, .com? You're cutting out a little bit. What .com is that?
Bustle.com. B-U-S-T-L-E .com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So,
hey,
I was gonna make that point that, like everything else, in moderation, and especially tilted towards the morning, then that's the time to do your coffee drinking and then get some exercise later in the day to help you sleep.
It's a great...
Yeah.
Great.
What is the decaffeination? How do they decaffeinate coffee? So let's say you're at the farm. You pick your coffee. You know, you have the people actually do it for you. You've got all the coffees done and stored, delivered to whoever buys it, I guess. And if they want to make it decaffeinated, do you know what the process is and how dangerous to your health is that decaffeination process, if it is at all?
I know little about exactly how they do it, but there are two main ways that they do it. I suspect the industrial decapping, which is like the Folgers and like that, they use what is called a chemical process. So they add chemicals to the bean that leach out the caffeine, and then they wash them. And some of that chemical residue can still be in the bean, depending on how good their processes are. And then there's the water-based process, and I'm not sure about the mechanics of it, but they don't use chemicals. So what you're looking for, if you're looking for decaf, is a water-based decaffeination method. Peet's is one company that does it that way. Probably Starbucks, if they're doing their own decaffeinating. So the more premium coffees decaffeinated, we'll use the water-based process. So, and if you're really interested, you can look it up. I did want to make one more point. Grinders are conical burr coffee grinders. So that's what you're looking for. C-O-N-I-C-A-L, B-U-R-R, like the vice president, coffee grinders. So you don't want that. That's what you're looking for if you're looking for grinder. And about the $80 range, it looks like there are a number of them that look pretty good.
Huh.
That's the kind that they use in the coffee shops too, except theirs are like $800 and
$900
ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people can get
mine once a day. They have to use theirs all day, every day.
Yeah, there are some folks who get fanatical about you know, about their, you know, coffee and their, you know, just has to make a certain way. And, it, you know, to me, I just want a cup, you know, just bam, get my cup of coffee.
Sort of like, it's sort of like, you know, once you've played a really great guitar, it's a little hard to go back to a beater.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Once you've experienced really, really good coffee and prepared correctly, it's really rough going back to McDonald's.
Oh yeah. You know, McDonald's coffee isn't half bad, you know?
They've gotten a little better, yeah, I guess. From the third degree burns on the lap days, they used to superheat it, because the hotter it is, the less you can taste it. So that's why they would just, you know, superheat it, and that's why they got in trouble.
Oh, yeah, and I remember that. Yeah, wow. Darn, see, only on the Andy DeMando show. You never, you know, folks. I'll tell you.
45 minutes of coffee from Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, we just
watch out for the counterfeit.
And I got to tell you, Chet, this is because, you know, and again, I can speak for probably most of our listeners, if not all, obviously not all, especially because we're in 20 some odd countries around the world, that a great many of our listeners are coffee drinkers and get up in the morning and make that cup or hit Starbucks, whatever it might be, on the way to work, and or go to that go to your office and go in the break room and grab a cup and go to your desk. I mean, my gosh. And you know, as a former pilot, man, we grab the cup of coffee, hit the flight deck and do our job, you know. And I guess a submarine commander could say the same thing, you know. I don't know, but it all walks of life,
computer,
doesn't matter what you do, where you go, where you live,
lives on it.
Yeah,
coffee.
Yeah,
and Jolt.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of cool because we didn't program this discussion to be a discussion about coffee, and here we are spending just about, you know, all of our time here, which is fine, which is enjoyable and informative, talking about coffee, which, you know, again, this is the Andy DeMando show, unscripted, raw, you never know, which also reminds me, folks, if you would like to join our show, as I get, like, what do you do for a living? You know, we've had people from all walks of life on the show, from finance and accounting to film producers, to actors, to human beings, motivational coaches, you know, human, experience, you know, the human experience, religious people, talking about religion and being, you know, saved in whatever respect they have been. You know, we've talked about everything here, politics, you know, government, musicians.
We could talk about Texas.
Oh, man, that would take, we only have a few, I think we should. As a matter of fact, I agree. Yes.
on your way, darling. Yeah.
Do you believe that Texas is part of this, of the United States of America? So I'm like, what the hell is going on down in that part of the world? You know, holy crap.
Yeah. It's so sad, and still bothering me so much.
Well,
yeah. And you're in the UK.
Yes. Yes.
That is a truly amazing law that they just put into effect.
Now, which one are you talking about? Which law?
Kind of clever. Forced, I call it the Forced Birther Vigilante Enabling Act of 2021. They basically have passed a law that says, can't get an abortion after
6 weeks.
The counterfactual fetal heartbeat, which is actually not a heart or a beat, which is essentially 6 weeks after conception, I think. Which is against the Roe v. Wade constitutional protection, which is 24 weeks. You're allowed to have an abortion within the first trimester. So Texas passed this law that said it's illegal to have one after the 6 weeks-ish period. But we're not going to arrest you. We're not going to fine you. We're not going to do anything. What we're going to do is we passed this provision that allows people to sue anyone who has anything to do with a woman getting one of these now illegal, in quotes, abortions, which means like family members, a friend gives you the phone number of Planned Parenthood, Uber has actually come out and said they're going to defend their drivers who drive a woman to a clinic to get an abortion.
Wonderful.
That fits under this law. Southwest Airlines, located in Texas.
Yes.
They could be sued for flying a woman to Oklahoma to have the procedure. The pilot.
By anybody, actually. By anybody.
The co-pilot, the steward everybody. Anybody has anything to do with getting a woman her right to choose can be sued with a minimum payback.
$10,000.
Once they prove in a court of law, in a lawsuit, in a civil action, not a criminal action, once they prove against each of the persons involved that the abortion was done after this period, person had something to do with the woman getting the abortion, it's $10,000 minimum each person. And I'm not sure whether it's for each person that sues. You could literally be on the hook for millions of dollars.
So I don't remember them, but we've seen the movies of the old the posses and the sheriffs. They round up the posse and they go get the outlaws. They deputize the population. You know, you're now a sheriff deputy. You know, we'll go get the bad guys. Supposedly, we've dedicated an entire show, which I invite everybody to go take a listen to. You'd get to it by going andydemanyashow.com. And click listen live. If we're not live, that'll take you to the archives and scroll down, and you'll hear a provocative, interesting discussion about the entire. Of course, I explained many times on the show that I did work at Planned Parenthood for a number of years, one of my careers way back when, and we've talked about that, what I did and what the research that we did and what the benefit that we provided to society. And our stands for we shouldn't be talking about abortion. We should be talking about family planning and safe sex. And that's how we minimize abortion. That should be the conversation. There should be no talk about abortion.
Yes.
We should be talking about attacking the root of why people have to get abortions. Make no child unplanned. That should be our goal as a species, as a race around the world. If you want to have a kid, plan for that kid. If you don't want to have
a
kid, then – do other things in your sex life. You don't have to do other things.
But again, that mirrors everything else that's going on in the world as well, because Biden is promoting and pushing peace along with climate control at the moment. It's several a day about, control of things like that, and especially peace at the moment as well. And I'm kind of chuckling to myself because I'm thinking, you're still funding weapons and the arms. So it's like, what level of peace are you promoting? And why aren't we getting to the cause of all these things? It's a whole other subject, I realize. But when you said the words, it means that kind of thing. You need to get to the root of the problems, not just stick a band-aid on everything and say, okay, well, let's do it this way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I
just voted a big pay raise for the Pentagon.
You know something? We have this debt. Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, just testified before Congress about the importance of raising our national debt allowance, so to speak. And if that is
the
not done,
limit,
exactly. The consequences could be devastating. And then we've got you've been a friend of the show. You called in a lot. We've had these discussions many times, and something we've talked about ages and ages ago is if you look at a congressperson or a senator and the job that they do, do you know most of, if any of them worked for Microsoft or Apple or Starbucks, they'd be fired? They'd be fired. You know, these are elected. We elect these people to represent us and exercise the will of supposedly the constituents of which they represent. And if we don't like them or they're doing the job they're doing, then we elect somebody else. And they're in a sense fired, and we bring in other people. But come in here, they say, oh, we're I know we have to debate and decide about the dead and passing an amazing infrastructure package that would just, you know, bring us up to speed with many other parts of the world that are beyond us right now. But, you know, we're going to take a break. Yeah, we'll discuss it. We'll let the government shut down. Sure. Yeah, it's okay. You'd be fired if you did that with Microsoft. You couldn't. You wouldn't be. Yeah, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't maintain. You'd be fired. You know? Now, what you know, anyway, I'm not going to go on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the one thing I can say about that is follow the trail of breadcrumbs to the 18,000 paid lobbyists and their bags of cash, of campaign cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's who those guys, most of them are working for, the Congress people.
You're right. And just you mentioning that and bringing that up makes me want to go get another cup of coffee.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Yeah,
how many milligrams have you had today, darling?
I've had, one cup, I've had 1.5 cups so far.
Okay. Go careful.
Well, real quick,
yeah.
There was a study done. Title is Congress Literally Doesn't Care What You Think. Professors Martin Gillens of Princeton University and Benjamin I. Page of Northwestern University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a simple question. Does the government represent the people? Their study took data from nearly 2,000 public opinion surveys, compared it to the policies that ended up becoming law. In other words, they compared what the public wanted to what the government actually did. What they found was extremely unsettling. The opinions of 90% of Americans have essentially no impact at all.
Surprise, surprise.
They're listening to somebody, but it ain't us.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Unreal. Hey,
and then
folks,
the few who do
end
up getting absorbed in this institution that is constantly telling them, play the game or you'll get nothing. And the game is the one I just described. Opinions of 90% of Americans have essentially no impact on the actions of Congress.
Unreal. We have about a minute and a half left, and we're going to run somebody we've played some clips on before, a guy named a Jewish comedian by the name of Jackie Mason, who we've had his clips and some of the stuff on the show. It's been really fun and funny. And he has this Starbucks routine, which I think I remember playing a long time ago when I was able to find it. And we're going to wrap up the show by playing Jackie Mason's video blog. And he recently died, unfortunately. I can't believe it. But anyway, I think it's his release. But yeah, so we're going to wrap up the show and play the – so don't go away. Listen in to this ending of the show today, and you could get a kick and a couple of chuckles out of what Jackie Mason's take on on Starbucks. Chet, thanks for tuning in. This has been a fascinating, educational, informative discussion, again, only on the Andy and Amanda Show. And thank you for chiming in with us today. It's been great. And for those of you listening on the phone, don't go away because I want you to hear this clip. So stay on the phone, and we'll see everybody. Friday is going to be another fun, interesting show. We're going to talk about the AMC stock squeeze. Is it going to happen? Can it happen 2 or 3 years from now? In theory, yes, it can. Everybody diving into buying AMC stock right now, thinking the squeeze, and it's going to go up to thousands and thousands of dollars a share. Well, it pretty much has to eventually, but it could take a couple years. So we're going to talk about that and why and how, and other stocks, other bets. What are people doing and saying in the market? We're going to talk all about that Friday on the Andy and Amanda Show. We have some special guests lined up to add their commentary as well. So we'll see you Friday. We're live Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And whatever the time is in your corner of the world, don't miss the show Friday. It's always a fun time, the weekend show. And again, Chet, thank you very much for tuning in. And Amanda, why don't you sign us off? But folks, don't go away because I'm going to play the Starbucks clip.
Okay, on behalf of the wonderful Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself here, Amanda Love in the UK, thank you, Chet Gardner, for joining us once again. We love you, dude. And we'll see you on Friday for the show. Enjoy the rest of this show.
Hello, hello, everybody in Blogland. This is my regular Sunday weekly blog. I also go to a blog on Thursday, so I don't want you to miss me at any time, because every time you watch me, you learn something you never knew before, because I have information you can't get anyplace else, and I tell you the truth about things that you can't find anyplace else. So if you're wasting your time watching everybody else, take my word for it. You're losing time for nothing, because I, first of all, I have a new book. I don't know if you heard about it. I wrote this with Raoul Felder, the prominent divorce attorney. And between us, we knock around everybody who deserves to be abused, because we attack all the people who deserve it. Some of it is vicious, some of it is about the contemptible characteristics of people, some of it is more playful, some of it is just criticism, but in all cases, it's exactly the truth about people who deserve to be called schmucks. That's why the book is called Schmucks. It's about people who have done something wrong, sick, stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar, disgusting, whatever the case may be. And you'll find out things about some of your favorite celebrities and politicians. I have to be honest, it's more about Democrats than Republicans, but it's about Hollywood characters and celebrities and people of all kinds. And you won't get this information anyplace else, because let's be honest about it. The press won't tell you the truth about obnoxious, low-class people with vicious qualities that deserve to be attacked. They won't tell you, especially if it's on their side politically. But we don't care. We tell the truth. But I want to tell you something else. You know, like one of the things I talk about in this book, is just as an example, is the whole business of Starbucks. Now, this is not a vicious attack, because they don't deserve to be condemned like some disgusting characters like Rosie O'Donnell, who blames this country for 9/11, like we decided to kill our own people. They're not doing any sick, vicious things like Harry Belafonte that I characterize in the book, with all the sick qualities about this man cavorting with dictators who hate America and going partners trying to destroy this country. A man with $50 million just because he lost his voice and he's too old to perform, he decided that he hates this country and he condemns, like, this is the terrorist country of the world. You made all your money here. And because of this country, you're a rich man today. Give us the money back if you hate this country so much. You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way about this country. Let me tell you about Starbucks. Now, Starbucks is not vicious hate, but Starbucks is one of the examples of the things we have here in the book. And we characterize the owner of Starbucks as a schmuck. But the truth of the matter is, even though we call him a schmuck, the real schmucks are you if you go to Starbucks. Because there's no bigger schmuck than a person who buys anything in Starbucks. This is not a vicious attack. If you're stupid enough to want to waste money in a place that charges you four times as much as anything is worth, that's your business. There's a lot of stupid people in the world, and you might be one of them. Or maybe you're so rich that you don't care about your money, which means you should give it to charity, to somebody who could use it or need it, or depend on it for a living, not to a billionaire company who's robbing you. They're robbing you when they charge you $3, $4, $5 for a cup of coffee. Why? What they call it, coffee latte? What is coffee latte? Coffee latte is regular coffee with a touch of steamed cream in it. That amount of steamed cream is worth literally nothing. Nothing. There's no coin in the world low enough to pay for that amount of steamed cream. Let's be honest about it. In a regular coffee shop, they'll give you all the cream you want until you pass away. As soon as you have a cup of coffee, 12 characters are walking around with pitchers full of cream. You want more, and if you want another coffee, here's another coffee. You could keep drinking coffee. You could come in when you're 12, and when you're 73, you're still drinking coffee for nothing. In Starbucks, an extra coffee, $3.50. Another refill, $5.50, $7.50, $9.50. By the time you have three cups of coffee, it costs you $812. Now, why do people go there? Especially since it's brain coffee in the first place. This is what we talk about in the book. Let's be honest about it. It's burnt coffee. When you get burnt coffee in a coffee shop, you know what you say? Yes, it's disgusting. It's burnt coffee. And you want your money back. Well, you start wondering, how the hell do they have the knife to sell this crap to you, these son of a bitches? It's yesterday's coffee. But when you get burnt coffee in Starbucks, you know what you say? Ooh. You get excited. This is a blend. A and you convince yourself it's a special bean from Argentina. It's not a bean from Argentina. You're a schmuck from New York or wherever you come from. You become a schmuck and you're buying it from a schmuck, and the whole situation is a relationship between one schmuck and another, and you stand in line to buy a gift. Buying coffee from a cardboard cup. You see millionaires standing in line for an hour and a half to be able, for the pleasure of giving them $3, $4, $5 for a dollar's worth of coffee. You tell a rich man to stand in line when he made a reservation in a restaurant, and instead of honoring his reservation, you tell him, wait, you'll stand in line. The guy will bring your restaurant up. Every Jew suddenly becomes John Gotti. He says, who, you know who I am? I'll teach you, son of a bitch. You want to kill. 10 minutes later, they're in Starbucks, and they're standing in line for a month and a half. Waiting to buy a cup of coffee for $4.50, $9.50, or even $12.50. These are thieves. Let's be honest about it. They charge you four times as much for a bagel there as any place else. Butter is extra. Cream cheese is extra. A knife to put it on is also extra. These are a bunch of thieves. How they could do this without a gun, I'll never figure out. Not only that, not only do you pay extra for everything, but they don't give anything to you. They send you looking for it. There's no service at that place. They send you looking for it. Oh, you want the cream? Cream is over there. Oh, you want milk? Milk is here. What else did you want? Did you want a knife? A knife is here. What else did you want there? Sugar? Sugar is there. Sweet and low is here. And all of a sudden, every old Jew becomes a detective with a tray, and they're walking around wondering, where is everything? People are crashing into each other. Hello, did you see it? Did you see the milk? Did you see it? I was looking for a spoon. Where's the spoon? Over there. You're walking around the whole coffee shop for an hour and a half serving yourself. Then you come back to the table. He has a glass that says tips. You owe him money now. You're the only one working. The people who work in Starbucks never move. They stand there like they're paralyzed. The customers are working like a horse, and then they give him money. He should give you money. You were working. He was watching. Since when does the watchman get the money, these son of a bitches? I'm making it even better than it is. Usually you wind up drinking your coffee and eating your bagel in the window like a caged animal. This is the only place in the world that has stools facing the street along the window. You ever see how you're facing the street eating a bagel and everybody who walks by looks? Look at this. There's a schmuck with a bagel. They don't talk to each other. Take a look. The bagel is hanging from your mouth and everybody who walks by looks right into your mouth. And then you know what you do? You clean up the place when you're finished. They expect you to clean up the place when you're finished. Walk into Starbucks. Elderly Jews are walking around cleaning. Could you imagine that this is conceivable, like a company like this could actually make a living? Imagine if somebody said to you, I got a great concept for a whole new business. I'll open a new type of a coffee shop that nobody ever saw before. No tables, no chairs, no waiter, no busboy, nothing. You'll drink white coffee from a cardboard cup, and then you'll eat it with the bagel in the window, and then you'll clean up the place for an hour. Would you say to me, hey, there's a great idea for a business? You would never say that. You know what you would say? How the hell is a guy like this have the knife to call it a business? He should be locked up for this. And that's the story of Starbucks.
Jackie Mason, folks. Hey. Anyway, that was funny. I really enjoyed that. Chet, you're still online?
I'm still here.
Pretty funny, eh? We're gonna go, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. I was sitting here. I just crack up every time I hear that routine. And it wasn't part of his comedy routine. It was a part of his video blogs that he used to do. But anyway, we'll miss Jackie Mason. Folks, we'll see you on Friday. Chet, we'll see you soon. And thanks again for calling the show. We'll see everybody. Take care now. And Amanda dropped off the line. But for Amanda, for Chet, for Andy here, this is the Andy and Amanda Show. We'll see you next time. Take care, folks.